Get your fill of baseball news and beer reviews at foulballarea.com. Follow our blog for the latest news around the baseball world and read about some of our favorite ballpark beers. Tune into the podcast every Wednesday as we take a deep dive into the topics of the day. Stay connected by signing up for our mailing list or following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at foulballarea. Now, here's today's episode of the Foulball Area Podcast with Matthew Atkins and Trey Lyle.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of the Foulball Area Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins, alongside my co-host, Trey Lyle. And it's been another great week around the baseball world in college baseball, spring training, everything going on around the world of baseball. We're getting closer to MLB opening day. We actually have real MLB games next week with the Soul Series. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. It's a real exciting time for baseball. Trey, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing well. So does that mean we're doing our preseason picks next week or over unders next week?
I guess we got to do them soon. We got real games coming up. We're getting close. So. Got to do it soon. Good. Glad that you're doing well though. Glad that you're doing well. It's been a nice week. You know, the weather has been very nice. It's got up to, I think, the 70s today, maybe even 80 today. You could say it's been a little hot recently. And you know who else has been hot is the Virginia Tech Hokies.
Yes, they have. Yes, they're playing really good baseball. I mean, a gigantic sweep of Notre Dame this past weekend. And that plants their flag in terms of, hello, ladies and gentlemen, we're here to play in the ACC.
It sure does. If you guys listen to our preseason preview for Virginia Tech with Evan Hughes, he said that this team reminds him a lot of the 2022 team that won the ACC regular season title, hosted a super regional, and was very close to making it to the College World Series. A very, very good team. This year's team is also very good so far. To recap what Trey just said, a sweep of Notre Dame last week in Blacksburg. The Hokies have started the season at 12-3 after that series. It's their first ever 3-0 start in ACC play. So a historic weekend with the sweep of Notre Dame last weekend. Then on Tuesday, they come out and they beat Marist 20-2 in Blacksburg. Absolutely crushed them. Huge offensive showing from the Hokies. They travel to Louisville this weekend. Louisville's not as good as some of the teams they've had in the past. They're not ranked right now, but they're still a formidable ACC team. If Virginia Tech can go to Louisville and get a series win, I think we see them ranked next week.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, you could argue they should be ranked right now with how well they're playing. But yeah, big series this weekend against Louisville. I think they'd be able to get it done. Your focus is, win two games. Win two games. Win Friday, win Sunday. I think that's always a good focus. And if they can do that, especially that Friday game, if they can win that Friday game, it's going to set them up big heading into the weekend. And their bats are here, and their pitching is doing enough. And if they maintain that, they will win a lot of games this year.
For sure. A really good start to the season for Virginia Tech, and we hope to see it keep going as they head to Louisville this weekend. Other teams that we like to follow around the Commonwealth, UVA, they are ranked at number 17 in the D1 baseball poll. They're at 14-3 right now. A tough weekend last weekend down in Coral Gables. They went 1-2 against Miami on the road. They came back to Charlottesville on Tuesday. They beat William & Mary 6-2, so they get back on track, get in the win column. And now they host number 7 Wake Forest this weekend in Charlottesville. So it's a tough series against one of the best teams in the ACC, but it is at home. Should be a really entertaining series this weekend up there in Charlottesville.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Wake Forest has a dynamic lineup and a dynamic pitching staff. They were the number one team to start the year. They're one of the favorites to win it all. I mean, realistically, they were what, like half inning from winning the world, from winning it all last year in that series against LSU. And so if Virginia can get that series against Wake Forest, that would be huge for them. And you need to win these. If you want to win deep into the tournament, come May is the word I was looking for. You need to ultimately win these series because this is and I would say the same thing if you're for Virginia Tech.
Yeah, for sure. This UVA Wake Forest series could be a preview of what we're going to see in the ACC tournament, maybe even in the national tournament later on this season. And rounding out our Commonwealth teams, JMU, they are 12-5 on the season right now. They won a series against East Tennessee State last weekend, went 2-1 against them. They hosted Niagara this weekend or this week in a midweek series, two games. They went 1-1, and now they have a tough matchup. They're on the road at number 16, Coastal Carolina, this weekend. So Sunbelt matchup, one of the best teams in the country, Coastal Carolina, who's had a really storied baseball program. It's going to be a tough matchup for JMU, but they're putting together a solid season so far. I think that they can go down there and at least win one game against against Coastal.
Yeah, really good program in Coastal. I mean, they've won a national title in our lifetimes, you know, since what? When did they win it? 20 in the 20
couple
since
years
2010?
Not too long
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, not too long ago. It all runs together. But you think about it, ETSU is a good program. You know, they get the split in the midweek series and then a big series this weekend. If they want to compete in the Sun Belt, they're going to have to win this series, or they're going to have to steal a game in this series because they'll be on the road.
So that's what's going on for the couple of teams that we follow around the Commonwealth. Of course, if there's a team out there like that you follow, like VCU, Liberty, ODU, any team that we miss, let us know. We'd love to shine a little light on them and talk a little bit about them as we get deeper into the college baseball season. By the way, I can't believe it's taken me this long to notice it, but I love the Dairy Daddy's hat.
Thank you. Thank you. It came in the mail the other week. I think last Friday, I want to say. Your last Friday or the Friday before that. And it is perfection. I mean, look at we obviously don't do visual, but it's got a beautiful cow on it. And I like the logo on the back because I'll show you, Matt. It's the, you know, the Carolina League logo. I don't think you can see it.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, that's nice. So, I like that.
Pink and black. And so it also covers up all this hair I have, which is
yeah, you're growing it out a little bit. Danville Dairy Daddies. That's gonna be a fun time when they get started in the summer.
Yeah. So
how
I
far
just
is
said,
Danville from you down there in Lynchburg?
40-ish minutes.
Oh yeah, you could easily go to a game.
Maybe I will. There's also baseball like 3 minutes from my house.
Well, yeah. You know, growing up, so I had the Valley League near me. I had the amateur Rockingham County Baseball League. A couple of these teams near Harrisonburg where I grew up, they would do, you know, fundraisers. They do dairy night. They'd bring a cow out on the field and do like a cow milking contest. One player from each team milks the cow and sees how much milk they can get in like a minute or something like that. If the Danville Dairy Daddies don't do a contest like that this summer, they're really missing out. Like that's a golden opportunity for them right there. Cow milking contest. They got to do it.
Yes, absolutely. They need to definitely do a lot of things featuring a cow this year. I mean, you could do a like, you know, there's the inflatable cow suits. I think they need to exploit that as well. Maybe some cow races. But yeah. Udders, and you know, you have to use that as well. So it's definitely something in which you can get very creative with.
Definitely can. Switching gears a little bit, we're going to shift over to Major League
Baseball.
Wait a
minute. They also have to have a game on Father's Day.
There you go. Yeah.
Right?
Dairy
Daddy's, I don't know when
Father's
their league
Day.
Starts, but Father's Day is what, in June?
I feel like they could start in time. Yeah.
They would have to have, you know, a game. You know what? Depending on what it is, if they can, their opening day should be Father's Day.
That would be amazing. That would be the stars
or,
aligned.
Or you just call opening day, you know, you have a game on, you have Father's Day, but then you also have Daddy's Day.
Yep. There you go. Oh my gosh. So many opportunities, so many ways you can go with this and make it a really fun time. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do this season. All right, shifting gears to Major League Baseball. We've been having fun so far, but now it's time to get a little sad in Trey's world. Gerrit Cole
is
injured.
This
is
the second time I'm talking about this week.
Not a good time if you're a Yankees fan. Gerrit Cole expected to miss at least 1 to 2 months with an elbow injury.
Please only be 1 to 2 months.
Yeah, I'm sure Yankees fans everywhere are saying that as well. 1 to 2 months with an elbow injury. He visited Dr. Neil Elatrache today.
Elatrache.
All right. I knew
same,
I was going to
same
butcher
doctor
that.
That did Aaron Rodgers' Achilles tear.
There you go.
And Kobe.
Notable sports doctor. And
in Los
he
Angeles.
Met with him today in Los Angeles. And now the timeline looks to be about 1 to 2 months. Before this, it was, you know, Aaron Boone said he would have a hard time seeing Gerrit Cole be ready for opening day. But that left it wide open. And now we know it's going to be 1 to 2 months before Gerrit Cole is ready to pitch. So really, really disappointing if you're a Yankees fan. You have the reigning Cy Young winner not going to be ready for opening day and going to miss some time at the beginning of the season. Where do the Yankees go from here? What I mean, how do they fill this hole?
Well, I would have said Dylan Cease because that's where they looked, but obviously the Padres were able to, I guess, outmaneuver. You have to go. I mean, you reached out to Blake Snell about a contract. I think you have to go after Blake Snell at this point.
That was my first thought. He's still out there. One Cy Young winner go down, bring another one in.
I mean, you lose. You're not going to replace the best pitcher in baseball, but you are going to have to replace that dynamic. And especially if he can come back, because let's just pray every day he doesn't. And I think for the good of the sport, Gerrit Cole should be pitching and not getting Tommy John surgery.
Right.
Because like when you saw he has discomfort in your elbow, that's instantly where your thought got. Like I took 1 to 2 months as a relief because in my head I was like, he's out for a season and a half because he's going to get Tommy John surgery. So I think you have to, like, Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery are your two options, and you need to go after one of them.
Yeah, both those guys still out there. Like I said, Blake Snell, last year's NL Cy Young winner, so you lose Gerrit Cole for some time, bring in Blake Snell. Not going to be quite the same, but still a very talented pitcher, one of the best pitchers in the league, and the best free agent pitcher that's still available at this point. And, of course, throughout the offseason, there have been rumors that he has an offer from the Yankees. It's just not exactly what he was looking for. But there's got to come a point where we're halfway through spring training. We're, you know, halfway through March. We're getting close to opening day. He's got to think it's time to sign with a team and have somewhere to play this season. You know, you can't just keep waiting for a contract offer forever if it's not coming. You know, the season is about to start. You got to pick somewhere and sign with them. And they need him now at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's put up or shut up time at this point. Are you going to play this season or are you going to join a team with, like, you know, a month into the season?
Yeah, and no one wants to do that. That's not a good time. That's not good. So perfect opportunity for the Yankees to go out there and get Blake Snell now, work out a deal, bring him in. They could get Jordan Montgomery. He's still available as well. I don't know what's going on there, why he hasn't signed anywhere. But those are two guys that are available that could fill Gerrit Cole's spot until he's able to
not
come back
fill his
to the
spot.
Rotation.
Hold it down. Hold it down.
Until he is able to rejoin the rotation, hopefully in just 1 to 2 months. But, you know, I feel like the Yankees have a pretty solid rotation still this year, even without Gerrit Cole. Obviously, you don't want to lose the best pitcher in baseball.
Carlos Rodon has looked good, which is a good sign.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Pushing 97 on the fastball. He's looking healthy, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, so I think they have a pretty solid rotation around Cole. Obviously, you don't want to lose the best pitcher in baseball, but I think that they're going to be okay. Hopefully, he'll be ready to come back fully healthy, ready to go in the 1 to 2 month timeline.
I just have to put the good vibes out. Well,
there you
okay,
go.
So Dylan Cease got traded basically right after the injury came out. So White Sox received Drew Thorpe, Ariel Irarte, and Samuel Zavalia and Steven Wilson from the Padres. Really good trade, it appears. CBS Sports grades it an A for the Padres. Cease is 28 and was runner-up in the Cy Young. Clearly, they weren't going to go after Blake Snell, and they needed a replacement for Blake Snell. And Dylan Cease is younger, entering his prime. I think this is a really good trade for San Diego.
Yeah, I really like this move. Dylan Cease was linked to the Braves earlier this offseason as a potential trade candidate, and it just never came to fruition.
Could
have
had
I would
the
have
two
really
mustache
liked
men, you know,
yeah.
Strider and Cease.
That would have been great. I would have really liked to see him end up with the Braves, but they couldn't get it done. And you got the Padres, who are another team in need of starting pitching. They lost, like you said, Blake Snell, free agent, probably not going back to the Padres, so they needed someone else. And now they went out and they traded for Dylan Cease. And I really like this move for them. I think he's a really good pitcher. Like, he was the runner-up for the Cy Young in 2022, like you said. He's a really, really talented pitcher. And I think that he's going to be a really good fit for the Padres because they needed someone to fill out their rotation. And I think that, you know, like you said, CBS Sports grades it an A. I would give it an A as well. I think it's a good move for them. They gave up a couple prospects and a big leaguer as well. So, you know, the White Sox can fill out their farm system a little bit and bring some experience in to the team. So it might work out for both teams. We'll see. But I really like it for the Padres.
Yeah, I feel like it's a smart move for the Padres, and ultimately I think it's what's going to, you know, needed to get done for them. They needed to make a move after losing Juan Soto. It feels like, you know, you need arms to compete against the Dodgers, and getting a guy like Cease is kind of perfect.
Yeah, it should be a really good move for them. Other injury news around Major League Baseball, a pitcher-heavy episode today. Devin Williams, the closer for the Milwaukee Brewers, he's expected to miss 3 months due to stress fractures in his back. Odd injury. I've never seen anything like this for a pitcher. You always see, you know, back issues sometimes, but it's usually something muscular. Stress fractures in his back for Devin Williams, though, is going to cause him to miss 3 months. He's been really great for the Brewers in his time. In 5 seasons with Milwaukee, he has a 1.89 ERA. That's the best among all pitchers with at least 200 innings pitched in that span. His 39% strikeout rate ranks third in all of MLB in that span. So really talented closer for the Brewers. He's been really good over the past couple of years. That's going to be tough for them to lose him. I mean, I remember when they had Josh Hader and Devin Williams. That was just such a lethal combo in their bullpen, and now they've obviously, Hader hasn't been there for a couple of seasons, but now they're going to lose Devin Williams for the first half of this season, so that's going to be tough for them. And you know, losing the closer at the beginning of the season, it's not good. Happened to the Mets last year.
Yeah, I mean, even worse way, this is, at least he's only out 3 months, he doesn't tear his ACL and he's out for the year. So, but you know, for Milwaukee, I didn't know how to feel about him this year. This is a big loss for a team that's built off of their, you know, their rotation, their bullpen, their, you know, they can't, you know, they work within the margins. And so this could be a very eventual, you know, big loss for them. And we'll see. Obviously, Craig Kimbrel showed, you know, no faith in this team. That's why, granted, he got a super duper bag, and so that, like, that sticks in the back of my mind when I think about the Brewers this year and if they're how good will they be. Granted, I don't know how much faith I have in Chicago, so I guess we will we'll see how it all works out.
Yeah, it should be interesting. They're a team that I'm a little iffy on this year as well. You know, they had a good year last year, but they've never been able to perform in the playoffs really. So I think they're always capable of getting there, and then it's once they get to the postseason, they just kind of shut down. This year, I don't know that I would pick them to make the postseason. I think that the NL Central, and of course we'll do our picks and predictions here in the coming weeks, but I think the NL Central could be a really sneaky good division with the, you know, I think the Cardinals have a good team. Obviously, they had a terrible year last year, but they have the talent there to be good, and I think the Cubs could be good this year. So I don't know that I see the Brewers going too far this season, especially without one of their best players for the first half of the year. Sticking with the pitcher theme.
I was just going to say yes.
Sticking with the pitcher theme, you mentioned him a few minutes ago, Spencer Strider, one of the mustache man for the Braves. He is off to a really, really good start in spring training. Granted, it is spring training, and I got to remind myself not to get too caught up in it, but he's 3-0 so far with a 0 ERA. He has not given up an earned run so far this spring training, only 14 innings pitched, but still, he has pitched incredibly well, 22 strikeouts in those 14 innings pitched. That, you know, he's always able to get the strikeouts. That's always been his thing. He just racks up the strikeouts game after game. His ERA has always hurt him. It's always been a little high, but so far, and again, only 14 innings, but he has not allowed an earned run so far. So, I, you know, Spencer Strider, Cy Young campaign begins now.
There you go. And to find out who Matt picks, Spencer Strider for Cy Young, tune in to, I guess we'll do the National League first, since that's the sole series is the in the National League next week. So should be fun. You want to talk about Seoul real quick?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I think the games start at 6 a.m. Eastern time because they're
Yes, we
playing
will
in
not be
Seoul.
watching them live.
Well, I'll get up at 6 a.m. to watch some baseball, watch a little baseball before work. Dodgers versus Padres out there in Seoul. It should be a good time. I think it's going to be really fun. Love it when they
Actually, you
do
know what?
things like this.
I'm up for a little bit around six, so I might be able to
There you
watch the
go.
start.
Yeah, there you go. It's on ESPN too, so easy to watch. It's not like, I don't get MLB Network, so I can never watch anything on there. But this is on ESPN, 6 a.m. next, I think Tuesday and Wednesday. So get ready for it. It's going to be a good time. We got the starting pitching matchups too. Got game one, first game of the 2024 MLB season, Tyler Glasnow versus Yu Darvish. And then game two is Yoshinobu Yamamoto versus Joe Musgrove. I like these pitching matchups.
Yeah, they I thought Yamamoto would start game one along with Darvish, but they the Asian-born pitchers are pitching in two different games, which is interesting. I wanted to think it was like the first time since the 30s if Yamamoto started opening day, that would be like the major league debut being on a the opening day starter. But that doesn't happen. But the fact that, you go Tyler Glasnow, now Yamamoto, it's like, oh yeah, and the Dodgers still have what, Walker Buehler and Clayton Kershaw. It's like,
Yeah.
oh wait, this team is insane. Like
Yeah.
you forget that, and then like they'll show the lineup and like sitting in fourth is this just guy named Shohei Ohtani, and it's like, oh yeah, this team is insane.
It's going to be something else to watch the
It's
Dodgers this year.
if Ohtani, I hope Ohtani hits a bomb in one of those games because that's. I think that's when it will go insane.
That, yeah, absolutely.
He's
Absolutely.
going
It'll
to be
be
a
amazing.
superstar. Like I wish he was healthy because he would be the opening day start. Like it would have been him and Yamamoto in the two games. No offense to Tyler Glasnow. But it would have been insane. I just hope he hits a bomb. I think that would be insane.
Yeah. It's going to be a good two games no matter what happens. And but I got to correct
And it's a
myself.
great
It's
rivalry. Go ahead.
Wednesday and Thursday. So 6 a.m. Wednesday on ESPN is when the season starts. And then again at 6 a.m. on Thursday. So set your alarms, mark your calendars, get ESPN ready. It's coming. It's going to be a good time. Going to be a great atmosphere. I love it. It's like watching the World Baseball Classic last year. All the atmospheres in all the international destinations are so exciting. It's so much fun to watch. They really, really love baseball across the world. I think we need to step up our game here in the United States a little bit. And the Marlins are actually doing that this year. I don't know if you saw this. They are going to allow flags and musical instruments at their games this year.
Give me some vuvuzelas.
Granted, it is the Miami Marlins, so I don't know how many fans will be there,
Yeah,
but
so
still,
it will
I
sound
love
like
this
this,
step.
like one guy in left field, so it'll sound like this. It'll sound like that.
Can you imagine,
Were
though?
you able to hear that?
No, I thought
Okay.
that was
Okay, good. Well, I made a noise.
the
I did. I actually went, burr, but okay.
Can you
Whatever.
imagine, though, if more teams started doing this and we got like a Phillies NLCS game at Citizens Bank Park and fans had trumpets and flags and they were just making all kinds of noise, like that would be amazing. So I love this step from the Marlins to bring a little bit more excitement into the crowd.
Yeah, but it's the Miami Marlins, so we'll see how many
We'll
people are at
see,
their
you know?
games.
We'll see. You got to
It's
test it
like the
somewhere.
A. Well, actually, no. It would be worse if the A's came out and was like, you can bring flags and stuff to the games. I bet all of them would be like, someone would make us sell the team flag. And that's what it would be like, all that's all the only flag you would see at the game.
You gotta test it somewhere. So that's where we're gonna see it. By the way, one last thing to wrap up tonight. We talked last week about the spring breakout, this new series where MLB is bringing all the prospects of the teams around the league and they're letting them have kind of their own spring training games. Tonight, we got Paul Skenes versus Jackson Holliday, the Pirates versus the Orioles. To open the game, Paul Skenes had a three-pitch strikeout, and the pitches were 101, 101, and 102.
Yeah, he's getting called up this year, ladies and gentlemen.
He
He's going to pitch for the Pirates.
Struck out Jackson Holliday to begin the game in the first inning as well. So Good outing from Paul Skeens in the first inning, but that's spring breakout. I
He
love
lives
that
the
they're
life,
doing that.
man. He does that, and then he gets to go home and see Lily Dunn.
Yep.
I'm just saying. You know what? He's so cool. He's so cool. Like, you know, he's gonna pitch for the Pirates for like 5 years and then get traded. So
Recreate that Garrett Cole career track.
It's not a bad one, except let's have him never end up on the Houston Astros. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay. So that will do for this. What a way to end. What a way to end. Sorry, I guess I let my my dairy daddy hat affect me too much.
Oh,
that'll
gosh.
Do it for this episode of the Foul Ball Area Podcast. Connect with us at Foul Ball Area, at Matkins News, at Trey Lyle VT. Subscribe wherever you get the podcast. Leave us that 5-star review. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Foul Ball Area Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Foul Ball Area Podcast. Make sure to leave a review and a rating wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe so you get new episodes as soon as they come out.